Welcome, everybody, to the Mets News Podcast. Before we get on to the draft expert, which is a great interview, I've never laughed so hard. I usually laugh when Coach Weber and him come on together. And, you know, I don't really like to laugh because I don't think it's good air. But this interview, I laughed a lot, and it's noticeable, and I enjoyed it. It's my favorite interview with the draft expert we've done so far. You could see how comfortable, like, I was listening to the first interview. Because, you know, obviously the three-year anniversary of my podcast, there's a 4 years coming up, 4 or 3 years, whatever. And I just, for fun, one day, I like to listen to my episodes just to see how I've improved personally, because I apply for different internships. So I like to see personally how I've improved. And to see how much that draft expert has improved, it's night and day. When he first came on, he wasn't comfortable. Now he's comfortable. He's ready. The interviews have gotten better. And I understand why he's the fan favorite. I knew this was going to happen if he would agree to do it. Because at first, he was hesitant to do this. He didn't want to do it. Like, I had to convince him to do it. And then COVID hit, and we had nothing better to do, and he said, I'll do it. Now I'll come on, we'll do it over Zoom. And you can see how much I've improved as an interviewer, and I still have a long way to go. I'm not perfect by any stretch. But you can see how much I've improved, but more importantly, which I love, because now that he's comfortable, you can see how much he's improved. And as always, I thank him for coming on. It's always a pleasure. He makes the episode so easy to do. It's just awesome. And I know the fans are excited for him to come back on, and it's always a pleasure. But let's get on to the Mets news. Oh, yeah, there's no Mets news this week. Wrong. Hope you can hear the sarcasm in my voice. The New York Mets signed Justin Verlander, Jose Quintana, and David Robertson. And they re-signed Brandon Nimmo. Steve Cohen is saying, I'm going for it. We're going to have a payroll if we sign the Japanese pitcher. I don't want to get his name wrong, so I'm not even going to try to attempt it. When he signs with the Mets, I will practice and practice and practice and practice and practice to try to get this right, but I don't want to butcher it. If the Mets sign the Japanese pitcher, they're going to have a payroll of $400 million. That's huge. That's astronomical. Right now, the payroll is at $330 million. And they're still not done. And this is what, as a Mets fan, you should have been dreaming of. This is what we wanted. This is what we deserved as Mets fans. I'll say it. We deserve this as Mets fans. And I get into this more with the draft expert. I'm just so happy. I really, you know, DeGrom didn't want to be here. I said that last week. I'm turning the page. I don't want to talk about it. I'm sick and tired on social media. I get Instagram messages. I don't get much Twitter. Again, follow the Twitter and Instagram _Mets_news on Instagram, Twitter @MetsNews6. But I get so much crap in my DMs on Instagram, and I'm happy the Instagram is finally building up the following again. I don't know why my original Instagram I've taken down, but it's okay. I'm just so happy. Jake is gone. Jake is this. Who cares? Jake didn't want to be here. I'm going to miss Jake more than anybody. I go back into the archives. I said it, but it's time to move on, Mets fans. Come on. Move on. We got Justin Verlander. We're going to get Kode Senga. I got his name right. Kode Senga. Boom, baby. We're going to get Kode Senga. We re-signed Nimmo. We got the best closer in baseball back. He didn't even get to hit the market. I just don't understand why the Mets fans are complaining. I don't. And we're still not done. And I want to see what the young guys can do. I really, truly do. If the young guys can be successful, the Mets are going to go places. If the young guys aren't successful, we're not going anywhere. We had to re-sign Nimmo. It was a must. And Evan Roberts said something that really personally stuck out with me. And I'm going to say it. Because, you know, Justin Verlander, the key with him is if he can stay healthy, we'll be fine. Same with Scherzer. Those are the two keys there. Quintana's a good four starter. If we get the Japanese pitcher, Senga, hopefully I'm saying that name right, I think Carrasco is going to get traded. I'll get into that more next week because I do want to get to the draft expert interview. I want that to be the focus this week. It's a rivalry game, Giants-Eagles. The Mets had to spend the money they spent just to maintain. Think about it. They had a star pitcher on the market. Yeah, star closer potentially going to market. I know he never hit the market, thank God, because I think his contract would have been out of control. I do. And then they had the second best outfielder on the market. So they didn't have a choice, and I'm happy Nimmo's back. I'm happy I have an owner that actually cares about the team and wants to be successful. And I'm happy that we're not done. We could still get the Japanese pitcher, Senga. We could still get Chris Bassett, potentially. I don't want Chris Bassett back, but he's the backup win. And we might get Correa. There are rumors floating around that Correa and the Mets have talked. So this is going to be fascinating. I just want to say thank you, Steve Cohen, for actually building up a winner. Because as a Met fan, I was going back into the archives again, and I'm going to end this on this, and then we'll get to the sponsors. As a Mets fan, I used to get excited about signings of a washed-up Rick Borsella, a guy that was near the end of his career, Adrian Gonzalez. Now I'm getting excited about keeping my players and getting new players. It's night and day, and you just got to give Steve Cohen credit where credit's due. But that's all I got. Next week, I will get more into form about what this means for the Mets, and maybe Senga will be back, and I can do a long episode about that. The Giants play the Eagles. It's not going to be pretty. More focus is on the primetime game. It's going to be a big week in sports. Thank you. Subscribe to all my platforms. Let's hear from the sponsors this week, and then it's on to the fan favorite, the person everybody's been requesting since August, the draft expert. But first, let's hear from this week's sponsors. This episode of my podcast is sponsored by the Birthplace of Rock and Roll. Yes, Sun Records has come out with a new book, and it is titled The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. It chronicles Elvis Presley's early days, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, B.B. King. It's just a great book. It chronicles nearly 70 years of rock and roll music. Sun Records has been there from the start. It chronicles the great night when the Million Dollar Quartet played. It chronicles all of Jerry Lee Lewis's sessions before he moved on. Elvis Presley's early days. The foreword is written by the late Jerry Lee Lewis. There are interviews with Jerry Lee up until his dying days. So this is just a great book to get, and I recommend you get it for $59.99. You could have over 220 pages of articles. You also have great photographs. It all around is a great book. And I'm a rock and roll nerd. You all know this. I've done episodes on Jerry Lee Lewis. I've talked about Elvis Presley. This book taught me things I didn't know. And it goes into the history that we didn't know about. All the singers that Sun Records had. Because, you know, the main four get the attention. But Sun Records had a great number of artists that were with them from their start that we didn't know about, that this book shines a light on. So again, I encourage you to get the Birthplace of Rock and Roll book for $59.99. If you would like more information, please visit sunrecords.com. They will answer all your questions. Again, I encourage you, if you want to learn more about rock and roll history, if you want a great book, if you want to see priceless photographs, if you want to hear what the late Jerry Lee Lewis said, again, this was the last book he ever was a part of, I encourage you to visit sunrecords.com and purchase The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. Again, sunrecords.com, Birthplace of Rock and Roll, and we thank them for being a sponsor. And now, let's get on to the episode. All right, everybody, welcome back. You just heard from our sponsor, and I also have a new sponsor, this beautiful book that Sun Records gave me to promote, so I gotta do a quick promotion. It's called The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. It chronicles 70 years of rock and roll history, mostly Sun Records, of course. You'll get to hear the Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley story, the infamous night, the only night that we know of. They recorded together, which would later go on to be the Million Dollar Quartet. It's just a beautiful book, and it's only $49.99. I highly recommend you go and purchase that book, but the ad said that. I just had to do a quick live read. Let's get on to the fun stuff. The draft expert is here. I think I planned this perfectly. The Phillies and Mets have both been making moves. The Giants and Eagles, for the first time in years, they're both battling for the playoffs. The Eagles basically have it locked up. Let's not waste any time. We'll start with the Phillies and the Mets. Coach, what has been your reaction to all of these moves?
You know, It's a mixed, well, first as a Philly fan, I'm very happy. But at the same time, as a baseball fan, it upsets me. You know, right. I want, obviously, a World Series. We were close this year. It was so exciting this fall. You know, Phillies go out. I wanted Trey Turner. They get Trey Turner. We needed some starting pitching help, and they were limited with money, and they couldn't give up more draft picks, so they couldn't go after the top-of-the-line starter. So we get your guy, who should fill in nice as a fourth starter for us. We get some bullpen help. But yet, with baseball, I feel bad for the small market teams. I mean, it's terrible. I wish they did have a salary cap, because how can you go into, like, we joke around with Coach Weber all the time, being a Reds fan. How can they go into a season excited when they really don't even have a chance to compete?
That's a fair point. I mean, again, I'll say it as much as Coach Weber probably doesn't like to hear it. The Mets didn't spend up until there was new ownership.
Right.
So I know how they felt. And now I'm experiencing for the first time ever in my lifetime, the Mets actually spending.
Yeah. And, you know, since John Middleton took over, and let's face it, when the Phillies signed Bryce Harper, you knew they had to go out and do everything they possibly could in this window of time to win. Mm-hmm. You know, you re-up Realmuto, you get Schwarber, you get Castellanos, who didn't really produce. You know, and we were so close, and, you know, we're not quite there yet. You need a couple missing pieces. You know, they go out and get themselves the shortstop, and they get another starting pitcher and some bullpen, but you know, when you look at the payroll, it's unfair. It is. It's unfair.
I know, but
I'm excited because I know going into the year, my team has a chance.
Yeah, I mean, the NL East, in my opinion, is the most stacked division on paper. I mean, you have the Braves that have spent on their own talent. Mm-hmm. You have the Phillies. Give them credit. They made it to the World Series. They didn't win it. I wanted a World Series ring, but I didn't get one. Kind of disappointed about that, but they went out and they spent. I don't know why. I was shocked they gave Trey Turner 10 years, but he turned down more money, so obviously he wanted to come back to the East Coast.
Yeah, and the Mets, at some point, that's the other thing. Like, yeah, it sounds good. He turned down more money, but he still got $300 million, and he has an 11-year guarantee. So now he knows where he's going to be with his family for the next 11 years, so he wanted that security, but it's not like he did us a huge favor by, no, I only took your $300 million. But, you know, hey, again, you know, it's a great move. The Phillies, their offense was exciting because they hit the long ball. But yet, when they got to the World Series, their deficiency showed up. I mean, you strike out a record number of times. You know, Trey Turner's the opposite. He's a guy that gets on base, that can run. You know, so it gives them that little bit. It gives them a bat in the lineup that is not going to strike out once or twice a game and maybe hit a home run. So, you know, they have two $300 million players now.
And then you guys got Walker. Walker was shocking because I think that's going to – I know Taiwan Walker, and I know his numbers in that ballpark. I think in that ballpark he's going to have some trouble.
He
gives up the long ball. I thought you guys should have went after Chris Bassitt because I know that the Mets are going to go after that Japanese pitcher, basically Chris Bassitt's replacement. I would have gone after Chris Bassitt if I was the Phillies, but they just didn't do it.
Yeah, I don't know what he would have commanded, but I know some of the top-of-the-line pitchers. Again, I don't know all the rules, but you know, Phillies had to give up two high draft picks to sign Turner.
Oh, and they would have had to give them back to the Mets.
Yeah, they weren't going to give up some of the other pitchers that were out there. They would have had to give up two more, and they just weren't willing to do that. Mm-hmm. So they already knew Nola, Wheeler, and Suarez were going to be the 1-2-3. So basically you're swapping, you know, the guy they got from the Mets for Gibson or Syndergaard. So I, even though he might struggle, I think he's a slight upgrade over those guys. And they're gonna look to one of their minor league guys, possibly as the fifth starter.
They do have, just being in their minor league system this summer, they do have some pieces I think they could help out the major league club.
And that's part of the thing. Like, the baseball purist in me when the Phillies had their run through 07 to 2010, it was special because their core players were drafted by the Phillies. You have Cole Hamels, Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins. They got Victorino in a Rule 5 draft, Carlos Ruiz. You know, their main guys on that team were born and bred Phillies. Now it's like, okay, we signed Realmuto, we signed Harper, we signed Turner, we signed Castellano, we signed Schwarber. Our only guys are Stott, and we have Hoskins and third baseman. You know, most of these guys are people brought in, which, great, we win with them. Hey, I'm happy to win with them, but there's something about drafting your guys, having your guys come through together that I really liked.
I don't know. See, the Mets are in between right now because they have Pete. They lost Jake. And obviously, when they lost Jake Friday night, I was not really surprised. He didn't really want to stay in New York. I was upset about it because I wanted him to be my guy forever. Nimmo obviously is our guy. I mean, they have it's like 50-50 right now, but it's becoming more and more of a free agent team. And I just want to win.
It's like all these other teams are our farm system now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Florida Marlins and, you know, the Devil Rays always still compete, but they don't pay anybody. Once they get good, they move on. But I do think the Mets with DeGrom, I think they did the right thing.
They did.
I mean, when he's healthy, he probably has the best stuff in baseball as a starting pitcher. But I think I saw a thing over the last, 3 years, he had like 39 starts. You can't give a guy whatever, $40 million or whatever a year, when he's only averaging 13 starts a year. That's over $3 million to start. I mean, that's crazy. Now you got Verlander, who, yeah, he's old, but he goes out there every four or five days and is going to pitch for you. And he's still pitching at a high level. And you got him for 2 years. You're not invested in him for five.
Yeah, I like what the Mets did this offseason. I was upset about it Friday, and then Steve Cohen, I guess, got upset and just said, all right, whatever, I'll just give 2% of my net worth to the team and we'll just get everybody we want. And they're still not done. That's the crazy thing.
And who would have thought this time a year ago we'd be talking about the NL East and the NFC East as the two dominant divisions in both their sports, because we were kind of basement dwellers for years and years and years, and now our divisions are at the top.
Yeah, it's shocking. And let's get to the matchup, what the fans wanted, obviously. The New York Giants. I've not talked about them a lot on the podcast. I've been busy, and I've been more focused on other things. And it's obviously the MLB offseason. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that they've been able to do this. I'm happy because I think winning builds culture, but I'm still shocked. And I think they're going to get killed this weekend against the Eagles.
Listen, this is an NFC East rivalry. It's in New York. On paper, if you match the two teams up, Eagles, this should be a double-digit victory. But it's in New York. It's a rivalry. New York's struggling, so they need to get back on track. Eagles the last 2 weeks have been dominant. It just leads me to believe that things are too good right now. This is going to be – and the weather's not going to be good. It just – Eagles, honestly, should win. On paper, yes. I know I'm always the pessimist and picking against them, but in my opinion, in this game, if Eagles go out and play like they did the last 2 weeks, don't turn it over.
They're going to dominate.
They're going to win. The Giants all year. I'll give Dable all the credit. He might be doing the best coaching job of anybody in the league this year. Because talent-wise, they're not a winning team. He's coaching to their strengths. He's relying on Saquon Barkley. He's letting Daniel Jones run the ball a little bit. You know, they're just staying close enough and waiting for the other team to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost a mirror image of last year's Eagles team, but we didn't have A.J. Brown. You know, Hurts is only in really his first year as a full-time starter. Hand the ball off 30, 40 times a game and try to eke out a win. That's what the Giants are doing. Until they can get more explosive players and build up their line, he's doing what he has to do. Because he knows going into a game, he's not going to win by two scores. he can't win a shootout. So yeah, he's trying to play ball control, limit the mistakes, and it's worked for him.
I agree with you, and I've had this conversation with a couple people up here, and they've disagreed with me because I've said this team just reminds me of last year's Eagles team, where they're going to sneak in to the playoffs, probably lose in the first round, even though if we're playing Tampa Bay, I think that the Giants are much better coached than Tampa Bay. I'm just being honest. And it's Brady and the Giants in the playoffs. I'd still give the Giants a puncher's chance. But
yeah,
I'm really impressed. Brian Daboll has impressed me a lot. And so has Joe Shane. They've not gotten OBJ back. They've stuck to their grounds about, hey, we're going to give you the league minimum. Dallas, it seems like, has also stuck to their grounds, which is shocking. I'm shocked that Jerry Jones has said, no, we're not going to give you
that would be what you funny. Want. I don't know how – I know what OBJ's asking for in money, what he said, but I think Dallas would look like fools if they give a guy that's coming off two ACL injuries recently all this money at 30 years old when you let Amari Cooper go because of money, who is healthy. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to let Amari Cooper go, and you're going to sign this guy. So that's why I think OBJ is not going to get the money he wants. But I think the Giants are smart. Giants aren't an OBJ away from doing something. They're not. Yeah. So they do what the Eagles did this year. Now all of a sudden you can see their deficiencies. Right, we need a playmaker. We need some interior offensive line help. They can now go out and try to get that. They're going to have a little bit more cap space, I think, because this year they were strapped. So they can add a couple pieces and start building. So they're not an OBJ, a 30-year-old wide receiver coming off an ACL injury away from competing for a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. I don't want him, especially after the comments. I've been flipping back and forth. But see, he made comments today like, oh, I don't need to play in the regular season. Like, I think I can just come in the playoffs and be ready to go. If I was Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, I'd be like, no, we're done. We're receiving our offer. But I also think that's because he just can't play. He's not ready to go.
He was on the decline already before the injury. He had a good stretch run there near the end with the Rams. But let's face it, with the Rams, you had weapons all over the place. So he couldn't get doubled. So there was opportunities for him. He goes to the Giants, it's not going to be the same scenario. What are you going to do with Daniel Jones, though?
That's what we're getting into. Because the Giant fan base, I think, has been very unfair to Daniel Jones this year. Everything we wanted Daniel Jones to do at the beginning of the year, he's done. Everything I said to do on the NFL preview when Coach Weber was on, you got to win games. You can't turn the ball over. No more fumbling. No more running into offensive linemen for no reason. He's done. And he's still getting so much hate. I just don't understand why the fan base doesn't like him. He's not perfect, but he's coming back next year because where we're picking in the draft.
That's the problem. You're going to be picking if you make the playoffs in the 20s. So you're not getting most likely a quarterback there. And I think he's played well enough. Now, how much money? I mean, they franchise tag him, which I don't think they want to do. That's going to be over $40 million for next year. He's not a $40 million. If you extend him, how much is he going to want? But I think
you let him hit the market and see if he can get a better deal, because Derek Carr is going to obviously be on the market. I'm not saying to replace him with Derek Carr because he's not mobile, but let him hit the market. I don't think teams are going to give him what he wants anyway.
I don't know. Part of me thinks – again, it all depends on the money. But I think you keep him. He's been there. You get him a couple more weapons. And also the other thing is you have Saquon. What are you going to do with Saquon Barkley?
He's coming back. He's going to get franchise tagged. They're going to negotiate a three-year deal. Brian Daboll loves him. It's just so obvious. With Brian Daboll, and Lawrence Times, the former Giant kicker, said this, he's praised Jalen Hurts in a press conference, like he's so tough, he can lead a locker room. But Daniel Jones has not gotten that type of praise, or close to that type of praise. Saquon Barkley, it's the complete opposite. They talk about how much they love his work ethic, how the players love him, how this is the Saquon he can be, and the line's just going to get better. I think Saquon's coming back. Daniel Jones, I'd say 75% he is. The rest, he's not.
Like I know your cap room is going to be better next year, but again, franchise tagging them, but I don't think they can bring, I doubt they could bring both back. And is Dable, I mean, Dable's running him to death this year.
As he should.
Is he running him to death because he knows this is the last year and he's just trying to get as many wins as he can this year? Because if you run a guy to death and get him beaten up like that, are you going to give him a 3-year contract when you just beat the daylights out of the guy? I don't know.
I think everyone was caught off guard by this, including the fan base, including the coaches and the general manager. And now they're thinking, well, this formula has not been broken up yet. Yeah, we lost to Dallas. We should have lost to Dallas. Yeah, we're going to probably lose to Philly. We should lose to Philly. The only time I think we can beat Philly is when you guys have everything locked up and you don't play your starters. That's the only time where I'm going to say, yeah, we should beat this team because we're going to always keep our starters in.
I don't know if that's happening this year because the way Dallas, I mean, I'm telling you, the Eagles, they have 3 straight road games now. They have to win the next 2. They have to go to Johnson to beat them. They have to go to Chicago and win because then they play Dallas in Dallas.
On Christmas, right?
On a semi-short week. Mm. The Eagles go in there, winning the next 1, even lose to Dallas. They still hold their destiny in their own hands as the number 1 seed. They just got to win their last 2, which is against the Giants. Now, if Eagles go, win the next 2 and beat Dallas, that last game's meaningless. You won't see any of the Eagles starters. But if Eagles lose one of these next 2, then Eagles have to beat Dallas. Or they go from – theoretically, Eagles could finish 14-3 and be the number 5 seed.
Well, I think you're going to beat Dallas. I think the Eagles will beat Dallas. I think they'll beat the Giants. I can't believe I'm saying this. The tie actually benefited the Giants more than winning because we lost to Seattle at Seattle, and then we lost to the Lions. Now those tiebreakers don't matter anymore, even though the Lions weren't going to make the playoffs anyway. But Seattle's the one I was worried about, and now that doesn't matter. I mean, all we have to do is beat Washington.
Detroit's now, 5-7? They're a little bit of – I mean, Detroit now is one of the – I won't say they're hot, but they're one of the more trending up teams now in the league. I think they play Minnesota? They might play Minnesota this week. If they knock them off, Detroit's right there now.
Yeah, here's what the Giants have to do. They can lose to Philly, and that's why I think Saquon Barkley's not going to play. Yeah, beat Washington on Sunday night, beat the Colts, and then you're going. You're in, in my opinion. You're in.
Not that this game is meaningless for the Giants, because no game is meaningless, but this game almost is for them because it's the week after. They got to beat the Redskins, and they got to beat the Colts. They get those 2 wins, they're in.
Yeah, and if you beat Philadelphia – then I think you're going automatically. I think you're – because then at that point, you don't have to beat Washington. You could then beat the Colts and then probably still make it at that point. So I want to beat Philly. I don't like Philly. I'm not going to lie. But
how can you like Philly? Our offensive linemen have a Christmas album out. I mean, they're spreading holiday cheer. You know, Dallas Cowboys are jumping in Salvation Army tubs, playing whack-a-mole. Our guys are singing Christmas tunes to get everybody in the Christmas spirit.
They've caused me so much pain.
They've caused me so much pain too. Like we said in the text today.
Yeah.
I've seen 1 Super Bowl in 51 years. 1 Super Bowl win.
I've seen 2 in 20. I can't complain.
Yeah. I mean, now Coach Weber's a little spoiled. You know, he had his heyday. Now, granted, his last 20-some years have been misery. Almost 30 years, but
it's going to be
a time in his childhood where things were good.
He had the time in the 90s. The Reds won a championship in 1990.
He was, you know, we might have been young and in diapers and stuff in the 70s, but he still had that time. he was probably walking around with Dallas Cowboy diapers on with the star on the back of his diaper, you know.
I've always wondered, how is he a Dallas Cowboy fan?
I don't know. I forget. We've had this discussion with him. Like, how can you be a Dallas fan, a Reds fan, and a Knicks fan? Like,
those are all the teams that were good in the 70s.
Yeah, he was a bandwagon person in the 70s.
Well, he's not now.
Yeah, now he's going through the misery.
Hey, so tell me about the Eagles, because I've watched them from afar this year. I've been so focused on the Giants. Tell me about the Eagles. What has made them so successful?
Well, the first, they have stability on the offensive line. That's where it all starts. Fortunately, most of them have played the whole year, haven't been out. And then getting A.J. Brown, that physical receiver that catches, that's not, it goes over the middle, can go deep. And now you have Devontae Smith on the other side. It just, they started the year passing the ball. They're like, oh, this is it. Jalen Hurts is throwing the ball. He's got that. And then they play games where they didn't throw as much, they ran it. And then you hear the critics coming out, oh, they're going back to their old ways. They just run the ball. Well, then last week they throw for almost 400 yards. Everything you see with them is it's like pick your poison. Like their offensive coordinator and their coach in the game adjust to what the defense wants to take the runaway, they'll throw it. You want to sit a safety back, they run on you. You want to put a spy on Jalen Hurts that takes somebody away from coverage? You want to play man-to-man? Then all the defenders' backs are to him. Jalen Hurts runs off for 100 yards. That's been the key to them all year. They have been so multiple. There's not one thing you can take away. And Jalen Hurts, I don't want to jinx the guy. I was a doubter of him. Like, I never doubted his attitude.
We have the tape.
His running ability. I doubted his arm strength and his anticipation with the throws. And this year, I don't know if it's because when you get rid of Jalen Reagor and replace him with A.J. Brown, you have more confidence to throw. He's thrown some balls where guys weren't open when he threw it, and he trusts them to make plays. So I think this year, I know he only has three picks, and two of them weren't his fault. The one-on-one went off a receiver's helmet, and the other A.J. went through A.J. Brown's hands.
Mm-hmm.
But only three interceptions. I think he's accounted for close to 29 touchdowns between running and passing. 29 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. That's the key. And then defensively, you get Bradbury.
I miss James Bradbury.
Who is playing the highest level because he's on a 1-year contract, a prove-it deal. You have Slay on the other side. Now you got pass rushers in Reddick. We have Jordan Davis go down in defense. They signed Sue and Linval Joseph. Howie Rosen went out and made some smart moves, and you know, it's worked for them. They've just been, and again, if you go to the Giants game, this is why, like, I hate to say this, but if you match them up, I mean, Eagles on paper, I hardly ever say this, but they're better across the board. It's just that you have to play like it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that, and I think Saquon Barkley's gonna play. But I don't think he's going to play as many reps as everybody thinks. If I was the Giants, I would just say, hey, you look so sluggish. Take the week off. Because the Giants need him to be ready to go. We don't need him to get hurt. If he's complaining about something, whether it's the shoulder, the neck, or the leg, just...
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, coaches will never say it. And, you know, they want to go out and win every week. But they're not dumb either. He knows that the Redskins game is huge. And maybe incising, if we play Barkley, we still might not win this week, but then Barkley's banged up for next week when we have to have him. That's what scares me as an Eagles fan. Because I know people, like, with coaching, there have been many games where we play a team and they're missing somebody, like, oh, this will be good. You know, they're missing their best players. And next thing you know, we get beat because we're kind of have a little letdown. We're not as focused.
Mm-hmm.
That worries me.
Yeah, I think that Barkley's going to play. I don't know. A part of me just wants to tell him to take the week off because he just looks a little lost right now.
Me too. Let him take off. Rest him.
I don't want to sound like I want the Giants to just not try, because I do. I understand. But at this point, if you don't make the playoffs, it would be so disappointing. Like, I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't say, like, oh, fire everybody. No. Yeah. But it just... You want to make it at this point.
Yeah, and I think Dable's done a good job.
He should be coach of the year.
He's not going to – he's in no trouble. that's what's good. Even if Barkley's not playing, I just think he's starting to build the culture there that they're still going to, like, sometimes having some of those players you have that weren't high picks, they play with a little bit more of an edge, something to prove. And not having Barkley, those players are going to kick it up another notch and want to prove that they can win without somebody like that. That's what scares me. That does. That scares me more than if Barkley's playing.
I mean, Matt Breida is a very good running back. He's very good. He just hasn't gotten a chance to prove it yet. And that Dallas game where Barkley was out for a little bit, he was out for the fourth quarter. I mean, he wasn't ruled out, but they just didn't play him. And the game was still close. He had some explosive plays. Mm-hmm. I would like to see him play, because if you're not going to have Barkley come back next year, which I think you should bring Barkley back, I want to see what Matt Breida can do just for a little bit.
I told you before, like, running back, to me, it's not that. I mean, there's some that are better than others, but running back, if you have a good offensive line, to me, running backs are interchangeable. And not to toot Dallas's horn, but I'm happy when Zeke's in the game. Please, when Eagles play Dallas, please just leave Zeke in the backfield. Okay, he might get 3, 4, 5, 6 yards. Then he's going to tap out because he's tired. Pollard is going to take a 6-yard gain and make it 20. And Pollard wasn't a high draft pick. So, yeah, just running backs to me, you can interchange them. I mean, some obviously are, like the Kansas City Chiefs, they with the draft here, they drafted Pacheco from Rutgers. Now, he wasn't one of my top 15 backs, but I knew who he was. I knew he was pretty good. The Kansas City system, they love him. Mm-hmm. He was a guy from Rutgers, you know, beating out a former first-round pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, it's just
I'm excited.
That's why I'm not sold on Giants keeping Barkley. I'm just not.
I think
if he wants taking that money, you can go in the draft or free and get another back that can go in there and not do what Barkley does, but still do enough and use that money elsewhere.
If he doesn't come back, I'd be disappointed because, you know, Penn State guy, I think he is the face of the New York Giants, even with his injuries.
So you're a Miles Sanders fan then? Penn State guy.
I root for all Penn State athletes to succeed.
Good. Root for that on Sunday. You don't have to root for Boston Scott because he's hardly going to play. So don't worry.
Giant killer. That guy will get a touchdown. I guarantee it.
Giant killer until he fumbled last year and cost us the game against the Giants.
You're right, but he still killed the Giants. He had a touchdown in that game.
He won't be killing them this week. He's barely getting any touches. He's like third on the depth chart.
But Matt Breida to me, I just want to see what he can do. And whether – I think if the Giants do lock up a playoff spot before it gets to Philadelphia, which I don't think they will do, like, they'll go, but they won't know till week 18, like, before the games kick off. Because I know the last week of the year, so many teams are playing at different times. Like, some teams are playing Saturday. Other teams are playing Sunday. It's probably because it's the new year or something. They're doing something stupid to make more money.
Yeah.
I would like to see Matt Breida be the starting running back if everything's locked up for the Giants.
Well, if it's week 18. Up, I think he will do that. He'll rest his guys and get them ready for that first game if it's in Tampa Bay.
I want to see Daniel Jones, though, complete a season. Jones has to start that game.
Oh, Daniel I think Jones. He will. I think Daniel Jones will. I don't think they'll put your backup in. But, no, I think they'll rest Barkley in that scenario. And I'm hoping the Eagles are resting then. But, see, Eagles got to beat the Saints the week before because we have their first pick. We got to keep beating the Saints. Saints got to keep losing. I was watching that game, the Saints and the Bucks the other night, more intently than the Eagles.
Really?
Well, not more, but I was – because the Eagles with the trade last year with the Saints.
They got their first round.
We got their first round pick, and the Saints were thinking they're going to be a playoff team and it's going to be a late first round pick. And now the Saints, right now, if the season ended right now, the Eagles would hold the number 5 overall pick, which at the time we were thinking it could be for a quarterback.
Not anymore.
Now the Eagles don't need a quarterback. We need probably a defensive lineman. If you're picking number 5, there's two defensive linemen early in my draft research that could be sitting there that are premier players that Eagles would get on their D-line.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can use their other first-round pick to, because I'm assuming we have a lot of free agents. Especially
Bradbury, he's gone.
We have Bradbury, our two safeties, our two linebackers, Fletcher Cox, Hargrave, Brandon Graham. So there's eight off the top of my head of our defensive players that are free agents at the end of the year.
Is this Fletcher Cox's last ride with the Eagles?
Yes, it's a done deal.
He's not coming back.
No, they signed him to a one-year deal this year. Because him and Hargrave, see, the Eagles were able to spend. They gave him $14 million. Hargrave has around $14 million. Graham has around $13 million. They were able to do that because Jalen Hurts is on his rookie deal, which he only gets paid $1 million. So now they're going to have to re-up Hurts. So that's going to be in the $40 million range a year. So you can't pay your D-line that. So I think Graham's gone and Cox is gone. They're going to have to re-sign Hargrave. They drafted Jordan Davis. They drafted Milton Williams. They have 3D tackles, and there's another one, Milton Tuolopo, or however you say his name. He's on injured reserve. So they have 4 younger D tackles they'll bring back and possibly in the draft. And we'll have to draft an edge rusher to take Brandon Graham's spot. So, yeah, they're going to lose those guys. They're only going to re-sign one of the linebackers. My guess is TJ Edwards, because Ear White's gone. Nakobe Dean will step in since we drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to – and I think Charles Johnson, the safety they got from the Saints, he's out now with an injury. But before, he was leading the league in interceptions. Well, because of that now, he's going to command $15, $20 million a year. And Eagles can't afford that. So I think he's gone too. Well, between Bradbury and one of them might stay.
I think Bradbury's gone.
Eagles can't pay them all, so they're gonna. That's why they need these draft picks. They're gonna have to use these high picks to replace.
I also think that's a good move because I think Bradbury's gonna start to decline soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you already have Darius. What is it, Slay? Yeah, it's Slay. Yeah. Darius Slay. He's getting older too, and you can't cut him.
Nope. That's what the Eagles last year in the draft. Again, not because I'm an Eagles fan. They did a couple smart things, drafting Jordan Davis as a D tackle. Well, now if Fletcher Cox leaves, you got that. They drafted a center in Juergens. If Kelsey leaves, you have your center to step right in. If you lose a linebacker, they drafted Nakobe Dean. He steps in. Now they got to start working on the secondary and probably offensive line again, because Lane Johnson's not going to be around forever and they could lose their right guard. So you could see them going with the offensive line too. And Miles Sanders is a free agent.
Mm-hmm. So I've been asking the Eagles fans this all the time. Will this year be a disappointment if they don't make it to, if they're a first round exit? Like
exit? Oh, absolutely.
When will that disappointment leave? Like, if they get eliminated before the Super Bowl or don't win it, when will it leave?
Next season. And if you would have asked an Eagle fan in August your expectations, because we got A.J. Brown and Hassan Reddick, I think the expectation was, okay, we can't go 9-8 again. But if we go 10-7, 11-6, win a playoff game, they'd have been, okay, Jalen Hurts took a step up. We're getting there. We're getting closer. I think it would have been okay. But now we're sitting here at 11-1, and that completely changes everything. How Jalen Hurts has been playing, how their offense looks. Now it completely changes everything. I don't think it's Super Bowl or bust, but I do think it needs to go to like an NFC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they lose one of those, it'll be like when McNabb's first trip of like, okay, McNabb was young. They lost to the Rams, greatest show on turf. Okay. They learned from that. Hurts learned from that. But they got to get there. You can't go 11-1 being called the best team in the NFL for the first 12 weeks, basically, and then lose right away. You can't.
I agree with you. And it would be fun. Listen, I joke around this with the Eagles fans. Wouldn't it be funny The Giants beat the Bucks, and then the Giants and Eagles have to play each other. That's your first round coming out of your bye. That would just be fun. I know the Giants would get killed. I know they would get killed probably because it'd be at Link and it'd be a night game and nobody wins at night at the Link. It would be fun to watch.
No, I listen. The way it's lined, because all these NFC East teams are getting in, it's inevitable that in the playoffs, the NFC East is going to meet. That is my fear. I mean, if the Giants or Dallas would play Philly in Philly and we would lose,
you would never hear the end of it from me.
I think my wife would know going into the game. First of all, she would lock the basement door. No, don't let me out. And if the Eagles lost, I think she might have 911 on speed dial. I do.
No.
I do.
No.
Here's the true story. Okay, we were talking about this today, and Coach Weber might know this one.
Go ahead.
Do you know Coach Stinner? Mr. Stinner?
I've heard of him.
Well, he played baseball for us, and now he coaches football at Parkland, coaches softball at Lehigh. He's a big Philly fan. His dad is as psycho of an Eagles fan as anybody.
More than you?
I'll tell you why. He might be worse, and you'll understand why when I say this.
Okay.
And if you're a true Eagle fan, you love when the Eagles win, but you almost get as much, if not more, satisfaction when Dallas loses. So years ago, I mean, Dallas has only won like one playoff game in 20 years, and you might not remember the one game they won was against Detroit, and it was a phantom. The game was over. Dallas threw a pass. Incomplete, game over. Couple seconds after the play, an official threw a flag and called a pass interference on Detroit where there was none. There was absolutely no interference. Dallas wins. Dinner's dad got so worked up. Not only that day, days after, he could not calm down. His wife took him to the emergency room because his blood pressure was going through the roof. When he went to the emergency room, they did chest x-rays. They actually found a small mass in his lung. He was in the first stage of having lung cancer, and they were able to cure him, to beat it, because they found it so early. So in a strange roundabout way, we were talking about this today at school, because the Dallas Cowboys won, it actually saved his life. Because if he didn't get all worked up over that, he would have gone on with his daily life and the cancer would have spread and they would not have gotten it so early to save him. So that is 100% true story. That's actually his hatred of the Cowboys saved his life.
Well, there's always a positive.
Well, we'll see. But I can't promise the same outcome if that happens. Because
you know what. I've been texting you after almost every Giant game this year. I don't know why. I've been doing it, and it's been working for the most part, and I can't stop.
That's why I can't gloat too much about the Eagles, because I know what's going to happen. I got to be Mr. Doom and Gloom with them.
But you know, if the Giants would beat them in a playoff game, not this weekend. If they beat them this weekend, I'll just say, wow, didn't expect that. I won't even... But if they beat them in a playoff game,
don't worry. You could text me. I wouldn't get it because my phone would be probably broken in a million pieces, embedded in the wall down here when I throw it against the wall or through the TV.
What I have to check?
My phone would be broke.
What I have to check on you through one of the people when I go to the Dunkin' Donuts? Would I have to check on them on you?
Yeah.
Make sure you're okay.
Yeah. It would be a while. And the sad part is, poor Coach Weber's daughter, I have her in my first period, in my first class of the day. You know, her grade would go from an A to an F probably immediately. It's a shame. Somebody's got to pay for it.
Yeah, you can't – I'm not there anymore. You can't punish me.
No, but, boy, somebody's going to get punished.
Well, yeah, she would have to be the one. I don't know. You know I go to the Dunkin' Donuts. You could pull something if you wanted to. You could just tell.
Oh, I could.
They, they would just have to do a better job this time to make sure.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. Like, I told them, like, they were too obvious, and now their cover's blown. So I'll have to get their roommate, who you don't know who that is, to do something.
Oh, great.
Just be careful. Just be careful whatever you order. Don't drink. They could be slipping something in there. You'll be running to the bathroom every 2 seconds. I'll have them slip something in there for you.
Well, here's the thing. That day, I could tell the story. I don't care. I was like, all right, I got a haircut that day, so I was running late. But when I go to the Dunkin' Donuts, I just put my AirPods in, and I just don't like to be bothered. My friends know it. The coaches know it, where I coach. I think even state football's learning. That 30-minute period, I'm not going to answer my email. I'm not going to pick up the phone. I'm going to be listening to something. So I'm just standing in the line, and someone tapped me on my shoulder. Funny enough, that girl in the photo that was next to me was like, two people are staring at you. And I'm like, okay. And then they go, no, they're really just staring at you. And I'm like, okay. So I look up, and one of the daughters looks like, gives me a half smile. And the other one looks like she's mad at me. So my brain immediately goes to, oh my God, I must have done something. I don't remember doing it. Cause sometimes when I'm focused, I just don't listen to people. I'm just want to get things done. So I'm thinking, oh, I know her from class. She must have been talking to me about something I forgot. And then that picture came, and I was like, oh, that means. Then they took the picture with the flash on, and that's when I was like,
I gotta teach them better. Because they told me before that picture, like weeks before, that they saw you there, and they said you took some ketchup packets. And I'm like, well, let me tell you, I said, next time if you see him there, you got to get a picture for me. Got to get a picture. And they were not. I think it was my daughter Maddie that took the picture. So the one that probably smiled was probably Kenzie, because she's like, oh, caught. And Maddie just has that look on her face that she's mad because she's trying to concentrate, get the picture. Yeah.
I was I was just, they so they took the picture, and my next thought is they sprinted, because I don't make a lot of angry faces, but I made the most, like, I look like I was angry, and they sprinted. I wasn't actually angry. I was just more confused. And I was like, I was going to say, but they sprinted to the other side of the restaurant. And I was like, oh my God.
Well, so now it all makes sense, because after then they sent it to me, then I sent the photo to you and Coach Weber saying that the State College Police is looking for, the thief up there that's stealing all the ketchup. There's a ketchup shortage up in State College now. I texted him. I said, hey, I said, I sent this out to him with this. And they were like horrified. Like, no, you didn't send that. I'm like, yeah, I did. Why do you think I wanted the picture? I didn't want to stare at a picture of Ben the whole time. But I was going to use it for something. So that makes sense why they were so upset that I sent it, because they knew they were caught. Like, now I get it.
Yeah. And then I go to sit down, I see the text, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But then at that point, I was like, they were all going on the other side, and I was like, I don't really have time to go up to them and say, we're cool. I just was like, they'll put two and two together at that point. I mean, it was a funny day, because, like, I sent it to my best friend, Gabe, and he's like, that is one of the better-looking pictures I have of you now. And I'm like, yeah, it is. I mean, can't complain about it.
But that, how's it going?
I don't know. We've probably been at the restaurant since, and I have still not noticed. That's how focused I am. Because here's a story. So I'm in the radio club, and this guy's just trying to talk to me, and he's trying to get my attention, and I have my AirPods in, and I'm just listening to something. And at that point, I'm thinking, the guy got so mad that he's still not talked to me since. I don't know. I mean, I think I make it clear. Just that 30-minute period, I don't really like to be talked to.
Yeah, we all have that. That's why Coach Spade helped me do my basement here because this is my sanctuary. Some nights where my wife knows, just close the door, let him down there. And that's it. And that's with an Eagles game. Just, you don't want to be around me.
I would like to, just to get the videos of it so I could, so Coach Weber and I have evidence.
Oh no, it's a tense 3 or 4 hours.
I would say put a video camera down there. I won't release the footage. I'll just keep it for myself. I just want to see what would happen. I should have mentioned that at the tailgate when I saw them, what I wanted.
Nice.
I'll slip you both $40. Just put a camera down and then just send it to me to see the reaction.
No, the Eagles game this past week, I was going to send a text out, but I didn't. Because the Eagles, I mean, they were looking good, but every 2 seconds there was a false start penalty against the Eagles. I'm like, they're going to break their record for freaking false starts. They had 9 penalties with 10 minutes to go in the second quarter.
It was close. I watched a little bit of that game before the Giant game started. It was close. And then the Giants decided to tie. And at the time, I was angry about it. But then I remembered that all I wanted was I didn't want them to lose. That's all I said. Just don't lose. And they didn't.
It's like going to the, I told you, it's like going to the prom with your sister.
That was funny. That actually got me in a better mood when you sent me that. I'm not going to lie.
You know, hey, you know, you didn't get to go to a prom with your girlfriend, which would have been the win. You didn't have to stay home because nobody would go to the prom, but you went with your sister.
Yeah. Well, or you could have been like me and not have had a prom at all.
Proms are overrated anyway.
Proms are.
Yeah, spend all that money and for nothing.
Here's the funny thing. I spent all that money before, like, because you have to write those due checks and everything. We did not get our money back.
Yeah, of course not.
So I wasted $500 of my own money. It wasn't my dad's. It was mine. Never saw it again for my dues for where we did the prom. They still do it at the Steel Center, or like this, like the PA Steel or whatever.
Did they do it there last year? I don't.
It's expensive there.
Yeah, I don't remember if they did it there last year. I'm not sure.
I'll text Luke later. Me him. But I was like, oh, we should get our money back now. No, we never got it back.
I don't know how they could have. I mean, with 800 some in a graduating class, just show up one day, start handing out cash.
Send a check. Send a check in the mail.
Yeah, spend 500 to send out to 800 people with stamps too. That won't cost too much.
That's a fair point. I wonder what they probably. I hope next year's class had a nice prom though, because they didn't have to charge anybody probably.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is this year's school is finally starting to get back to some normalcy now.
It is?
It's almost like before the pandemic, so it's getting there.
Getting there?
Hey, and what's with these freaking Giant fans? Like, I wasn't planning on going to the game this weekend.
You were going to go to the game?
For the heck of it, let me, because my son, his one, before he got this job, he was working right next to the Meadowlands, used to pass. He was like a block down the street. I'm like, yeah,
that dump.
Maybe we'll take a trip. I'm like, freaking Giant fans are still trying to sell their tickets for way too much.
You should have texted me. I know someone in the Giant. Well, I did. She doesn't work there anymore. Yeah. Her name was Kim.
That's the other thing I don't like. The weather's going to be awful, potentially rain.
Oh, it's going to be bad this weekend.
I don't want to sit in there. And sorry, that's the only thing worse than screaming and yelling in my basement is screaming and yelling and it's cold out and I'm wet.
I was happy. The one Penn State game I actually got to watch as a fan, it was a beautiful day.
I know.
And then they lost.
Well, I was expecting them to lose that game, but just how they lost was what made it. They had it and they lost it.
That was a painful day.
That day when I got there, it was freezing out.
Oh, I know. I was in the stadium doing pregame stuff. And I was like, I don't know if I want to take that journey walk, because I got there in the morning and it was pitch black. It was so cold. I was like, you know what? I don't have any press stuff to do after the game. And obviously I'm not working with the football team until the spring. I'm just going to head home. That's literally what I said. I said, I'm going to head home. But then I said, you were coming up. So I said, well, I'll go to that. But if it's cold, I still might not show up. But it turned out to be great. It was probably the last nice day we had up here.
Yeah, it was after the cold. It got to be like almost 60 degrees out. It was perfect.
Oh, the best part of that game is I was sitting with the recruits. And I'm not going to say what happened because I don't want to get fired.
I remember.
you know, because I just can't say – I'm not going to say it. I know better. But I got to sit with the recruits. That was fun because I couldn't make it up to Coach Spade's seats. They were – someone actually took them.
And somebody just sat where they weren't supposed to, yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't in the mood to fight. I was just like, you know what, I'm too tired here. I've been here since 6 in the morning. And we got in late, too. Like, I got in there, and it was like 9 minutes left in the first quarter. It was right when Ohio State scored. It was that field goal.
Mm-hmm.
But then I knew someone, and they were like, just come sit with the recruits. Someone didn't show up. But the recruit seats are nice and comfy. They give you, like, a nice little cushion to sit with, mm-hmm. so you're not sitting on the bench. That's nice. That was nice. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I'm not that. Going to Penn State games, I hate it.
Because you hate
seats. You are crunched in so tight with people, you can't move.
Oh,
if
you
got to go use the bathroom, forget it. So the seats I got for this game are in the south end zone. They have actually the seat backs, so you have room. I'm never sitting anywhere else again. I'll sit in those seats every year.
We're gonna be fine next year. We got the young QB coming in. Like I said on the radio last week for State College, don't expect it to be a miracle. There's gonna be growing pains because he had no starting time this year. The year after, when I'm gone, they're gonna be ready
Should
to go.
I mean, they have some young talent. So they just got to get over the hump of Michigan and Ohio State. The scary thing is if they would have beaten Ohio State, They would be in.
They'd be in.
I think they'd be in.
They should be in. Ohio State didn't play well against Michigan. We didn't play well against Michigan either. Michigan was probably our worst game of the year, in my opinion. That this season was a growing season. We did fine. Well, Parker Washington's gone.
Yeah.
He put something on social media. But I think Dawkins should be coming back. I don't think he's going to declare for the draft. I don't know that, but...
Who?
Nick Dawkins. I know he's doing – he was an important part of their line this year, apparently.
Nick Dawkins, I know. He didn't get time on the line this year.
I just go by what I'm told. I'm not there every day.
No, the only lineman that's going to declare is your tackle, I think, Fashanu or something like that. If he declares – he's really young, though, but he could declare and – early in, again, I started filling in the draft board with kids that are saying they're coming out. He didn't declare yet. But if he does, he's projected as one of the top five offensive tackles in the draft. I think he'll go back to school a year. He goes back to school, or next year he'll be the number one.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to lose Washington. Your defense, you're going to have a lot of guys back.
That's why next
– your one linebacker, Abdul Carter, is a menace over there. He was only a freshman.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
You're going to probably lose cornerback Joey Porter. He'll be a first-round pick or second.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot coming. You're going to lose safety Jair Brown. He'll go to the draft. But no, there's a lot coming back. And your two running backs that are going to be awesome next year.
Now what do I do, though? Because, like, football is done after the Rose Bowl. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I got the club team, but then.
You got giant football playoffs.
Yeah, I got one extra week this year before I got to get ready for the Mets. That's the goal. I'm shocked that the Giants have even been this good. I can't even be sarcastic about it.
Two wins away. So, you're two wins away from pretty much getting in.
Or collapsing and. Listen,
if you lose to the Eagles and then lose one of the ones to the Colts, Oh boy. And the red, oh boy.
Washington, I wouldn't be upset about because it's at home. They're very evenly matched. Like, that's the Giants and Washington mirror each other. Everything except quarterback. I think Daniel Jones is a better quarterback. He proved it last week.
Heineke's one of those blue collar. The teammates like him. He'll do whatever it takes. But he's limited. He's just limited in his talent, but he's one of those guys that kind of wills victories. Unlike Carson Wentz, who has all the talent, because the arm talent, can run, big. Guys just don't like him. He's not a leader, and he makes stupid decisions. And
the locker room's quit on him every time, everywhere he's gone, except Philly. I don't know if the locker room quit on him in Philly.
I think it was divided.
Okay.
I think some guys liked him, some didn't. And then when Jalen Hurts comes in, with his attitude, people gravitate towards Hurts. Here's another side story for the Giants-Eagles game for a little extra motivation. Trivia question. When Jalen Hurts was the quarterback at Alabama and got benched for Tua, who was Alabama's offensive coordinator?
Coach Brian Daboll.
Yes, he was. So, a little extra motivation for Jalen Hurts to go out this week and to show Dable that you made a mistake? The answer is no, because Nick Saban makes all the calls. Nick Saban is the guy.
Yeah, I was about to say, I give it to Nick Saban over there. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. I forgot. Brady, I was looking at my notes here. I'm going to let you take it away. Just what's your thoughts on Brady? Because
honestly, I haven't followed them too much. But
they're losing games they should be winning.
The games, the little bit of the games I've watched this year, it is like watching old, and it's like watching the NFC East from a couple of years ago that was just putrid football every game. And that's how it's been. It's ugly, their games. It's really bad. I don't know. I haven't sat back and watched. Everybody expects Brady to be great, but I think their offensive line isn't as good as it used to be. So that hurts Brady. I mean, they still have some weapons. They still have Godwin and Evans and Fournette. But it's been ugly.
Oh, it's been funny to watch. I think it's been hilarious to watch. I'm not going to lie.
But, boy, I was rooting for them to win against the Saints, boy.
Did you watch all that game?
No, here's what happened. I was watching it till halftime. I turned it off because I get up early in the morning and they play the Monday night and the Sunday night game on NFL Network the next morning from like 4 to 6. So I go downstairs and watch from 5:30 to 6, the last part of the game. So I watched the end of it the next day, just praying that last drive. I'm like, come on, come on. I need that top because there's my early draft projections. There's three players that I kind of like am coveting for the Eagles to get. But for Eagles to get one of them, they have to be in the top 10. If they're in the top 10, they're going to get one of those guys.
I think that's secured at this point.
Well, the Saints' schedule is not that. They play the Panthers, the Falcons, and the Falcons now made a quarterback switch. They're going with their rookie now,
they're tanking.
Which is a smart move, Desmond Ridder. Then they play the Eagles. I forget who else, but there's looking at their last five games. They could win two. Maybe they could finish. They can go 2-3, 3-2. If they win two, that makes them 6-11 on the year, which should get us a top 10. If they win three, they're probably out of the top 10. But going into the year, I thought Eagles with their pick would get a pick like number 20. I thought Saints would be better.
There should be no complaining in Philly sports. I stand by that. The Phillies gave you a magical run, which I never heard the end of, especially being up here. And then oh no, this is great.
Yeah, for just a little kind of remember the good times here. Hold on.
No. Oh no. I don't know. Is this gonna be like when I showed up and I heard that? I know where this is going. When I showed up at, I don't think the people are gonna hear it, which is fine. Oh, they're gonna hear it.
Yes.
Is that your new favorite song, Coach?
It is now, yeah.
I'll let it play.
It's a beautiful song.
It is, but when I heard it 50 times, when I heard it going to class, and then all that whole Saturday when I was up at your tailgate, it was getting a little on my nerves. I'm not gonna lie.
It was great, but I was playing it, but then the group across from us was playing it.
It was like a competition.
It was a great moment. Great moment. Yeah. That's why my daughter told me to shut it off because I got sick of hearing it. But
well, yeah, I mean, I got sick of hearing it. I wasn't going to say to shut it off, but yeah, I got sick of hearing it too after a while. Then I think you would have played it louder. So
yeah, I would have. Don't worry, I have it on my phone for 20 years from now. Say, remember the last time we were in the World Series? Here it is.
Why the Mets are winning their 15th World Series? Hopefully.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. I just had to say it.
Have to go. I didn't tell you when Phillies, the game the Phillies beat the Padres here in the series, what happened that day? When the Phillies started the playoffs, I was like, I wasn't too geared up for it. But when they beat the Cardinals, then I started inching down into the basement because I'm getting too panicky with games. So going into that game, game six, I'm like, you know, if the Phillies don't win today against the Padres, they got to go back to San Diego. And the pitching matchup doesn't fare. We're going to lose. So I was on pins and needles the whole game. And then the Phillies got on top, but they blew some chances. And I'm like, when they got a lead, I'm like, they need a shutdown inning. And, of course, the Phillies give up like a home run or something. Game's tied. And I looked at my wife and said, the Phillies are going to lose like 3-2. Wouldn't you know it, it's 3-2. And I said, that's it. I can't stay here. I can't watch this. I'm losing my mind. I said, let's go. We're going to Wawa. We're getting coffee. I can't take this. So I'm listening to the game, Larry Anderson and all that. And I'm like, I'm so mad driving. We get to Wawa and Bryce Harper comes up. And I said, hold on. We can't go in yet because this is the game. If Harper gets a hit, we win. If he makes out, it's over because the bottom of our lineup's up next inning. We're done. So I was sitting in the car, raining at Wawa when he hits the home run. I run into Wawa, get my coffee. Luckily, there weren't cops around because I sped home. I get home and it's first and second with like no outs. I'm like, no, I'm dying. And then they put Ranger Suarez in with runners on first and second, one out. And the guy bunts on the first pitch. I'm like, ha, ha, yes.
I remember this.
That was so bad. Cowardly. If there was no outs, okay. But with one out, first and second, you bunt. Even if you get the bunt down and you get a hit, it's still bases on one out, a double play. It was such a cowardly move. Oh my God. It's because my wife stayed away from me. She didn't know that happened. So one pitch bunt, next pitch, first pitch, fly ball, game's over. She hears me excited. She's like, what? I'm like, game's over. How? It was just one out. I'm like, two pitches, two outs. That was, yeah, I couldn't even watch the game. I had to get in the car and go to Wawa. I was so distraught.
I don't know how I could top that. I've never been like that. And I'm the type of guy that has to watch the misery happen.
Let me tell you, if it's the fourth quarter on Sunday, and Eagles are down by whatever with 2 minutes left and they get the ball back, I might be going for a drive.
You'll know it. Hey, don't worry. If they win, I have to text you. I'm going to kick myself. I haven't been eating my McDonald's on Sundays because I can't.
And now they're losing.
Yes. I think Thanksgiving, I deserve a pass. I couldn't really do anything that day. So I'm going to give myself a pass that one game.
Don't eat it this weekend.
No, don't.
Don't, because they're losing when you don't eat it. Don't eat it.
Yeah, I want my quarter pound. I'm getting sick of it, actually. I got it that first Sunday because I was running late. I'm helping out the club team here, which were very good. We had a practice. I was running late, so I said, I'm not going to put something in the oven. I'm going to order. They won. So I'm a coach. I'm a little superstitious. As Eli Manning would say, I'm stitious. I'm not overly superstitious, but I like to keep things going. The Chicago game, I did it again. They won, and now I'm stuck with it till the season's over.
But it's your fault.
Well, I texted you because I have a Mets group chat with my friends, but I don't have a lot. I don't have a Giants group chat, and I'm not going to text other Eagle fans how I'm feeling. So I texted you because I was in shock that the guy missed the kick, and then they kept winning and winning and winning, and now it's like, well, I don't have a choice. I have to do it. If they win, I have to let him know that I'm shocked.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. If they're winning, you eating McDonald's, you got to continue to eat the McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned. I'm going to go home now and watch the games at my house, because the last game I watched at my aunt's house because they played Thursday night. If they start to lose, I'm going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been sitting on on my couch outside or in my bed watching it on my laptop or in this chair. It just depends how I'm feeling, because sometimes I do get up and pace a little bit. If they start to lose, oh, no. No, I don't think I can handle it.
Hey, I'm nervous every Sundays, but I'm nervous.
So tell us, I heard a rumor that The Walking Dead is over, like it's done. Okay.
Thank God.
What was your thoughts on the final? The fans. I'm reading fan questions. What was your thoughts on the final?
The whole last couple seasons have been terrible. This one, it was terrible. I mean, I had to watch it to the end just because I was invested in it, but it was tough. It was. I don't even. It was so. It's not even memorable. Like I remember kind of what happened, but it was like I almost had to watch it again and be like, is Rick still alive?
Is he still alive?
Like it was horrible. And granted, the show is based off something that is impossible to happen, but it became so outrageous near the end. I mean, they're driving around in like freaking like tanks and stuff. Like, where do they get this stuff from?
Now
they're still shooting bullets 10, 15 years later when there's nobody making bullets, even though they were supposedly making. I don't know how they were making them. I mean, their houses, they had like, they're drinking wine and stuff. I'm like, where's all this coming from?
Like, electricity?
Yeah. I mean, it was terrible.
I don't know. I got out of it.
And one of the characters near the end gets bit. So you have to chop the arm off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're in a stinking trailer with no medicine or anything, and they hack her arm off, and yet she lives. Like, you know, give me a break. Give me a break. I mean, come on. Nobody gets their arm just chopped off with an axe and is feeling okay in a couple hours to go back.
Well, I know. Eventually, this is the thing I didn't understand, because I've watched people talk to me about it, and they're like, well, the characters now are having children. And my first thought is, why are you trying to have children if you're just like, I don't know. Like, that's something I would not do if I was in a zombie apocalypse. I would just ride it out till it was time, and that would be it.
If it's a zombie apocalypse, I'd probably just have to kill myself. I have no Eagles to watch, no Phillies to watch.
Yeah,
they're eating canned food the whole time. No Wawa coffee. I'm done.
you're done.
I'm done.
You do go to Wawa a lot.
every day. Here's one right now. I was there before I came on here.
What? Do you get decaf at night or regular?
Heck no. Decaf is disgusting.
I remember you told me when I was in high school, you switched to decaf because you didn't want to have it so late at night.
I was mixing. I was trying to go half and half because my doctor told me I should do that. And my wife was telling me I should do that, but it's disgusting.
So I've had decaf. No, it's bad. So, well, what can you do? Is there a new show you're watching? This is another audience question that you would recommend.
Let's see. Well, Netflix right now, it's kind of weak. Ozark's done. That was a favorite. Really, there's really nothing good. I just watched a couple of them. They're so unmemorable. I don't even remember. I watched the Dahmer one.
Oh, that documentary? I've been wanting to watch that.
Yeah, that was messed up. How he could get away with it when he should have been caught. I mean, today's age, he would have been caught right away. That was shocking. But no, there's really nothing good on now. That's why I need the Eagles to keep winning. So I had that to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. You could always rewatch Seinfeld.
Oh, I did. When I had COVID last year, I binged it again.
You could always start a Larry David show, Kirby. I'm telling you, you would like that show.
I might, you know what? I need one to get me through here during the holidays when I'm home. Maybe I'll do it.
You have that 2-week period, right? Because I have close to a month.
We had like 10, 11 days.
That's it? Oh yeah, that actually was how it was.
College, where you guys get a month.
Well, yeah, but I just realized because I'll be home until January, and then I'm not gonna come home again until May. And if I get the internship I want, I won't be coming home at all.
Well, I'm concerned because the Eagles play Dallas on Christmas Eve. What kind of Christmas is that going to be if the Eagles lose to Dallas on Christmas Eve? My poor kids won't get any presents because I'll probably break
Coach
them all.
Coach Weber will be texting in that group chat.
Yeah, well, he'll probably come around as Santa Claus the next day giving out Dallas Cowboys stuff at my house. I'll get up in the morning and my mailbox will be painted in blue and silver and have a cowboy emblem on the mailbox.
I don't know. If the Eagles would win, if we have the Dallas, have they beaten the Eagles since we started that chat? I think the Eagles have been just dominating since we started the chat.
You mean this year?
No, I'm just saying in years past. I'm trying to think.
Dallas whooped up on the Eagles last year.
Oh, then there was just no texting in it. This year, it's been more active because I have two chats. I have my Mets chat, and then I have that chat.
Yeah, and Dallas whooped up on them last year. The one game I know particularly was really ugly. Maybe Christmas Eve, maybe I'll have like Philly cheesesteaks this year to get ready for the game.
Christmas Eve, I'll be watching the Giants play the Jeff Saturday Colts. And if they lose, I will be in such a bad mood. I can take losing to Washington. I can take losing to Philly. I will not lose to Jeff Saturday. That is where I draw the line. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not losing to Jeff Saturday's Colts.
That's a joke. Let's hire a coach that's never coached before.
Where are you going?
Walking around, moving around here. I got my Penn State Christmas tree down here. All in blue and white.
Are you gonna get the? I'll say one more thing and then we'll end the podcast. Are you gonna get that lighting? Because I sent you that video of that kid beating up on that pumpkin.
Oh yeah.
You gonna get that lighting?
I should. That was good.
You should get Twitter. You would love Twitter. You could just watch all the videos. Coach Weber and I don't have to keep sending them.
Yeah, I don't have any of that stuff.
It's probably for the best.
It is.
I always said this. The only reason why I got on Twitter, even before I started the podcast, was because Coach Weber once told me, if you want to coach, you have to get a Twitter to see what other players are doing. So then I got a Twitter.
I don't want to know.
The fan, hey, you're not missing anything. No, but you get all the information you want from us. We send you what we think you'd like. We surface through all the garbage. And if anyone else sends you things, they surface through all the garbage just to send you what you want to see.
Yep.
All right, we'll end it. I appreciate it. I always have enjoyed it. Thank you. Subscribe.
Anytime.
And the listeners, you know the drill by now.